Gregorovitch, said Harry loudly, and Crumb started, but Harry was too excited to care. The memory had come back to him at the sight of Crumb's wand, Ollivander taking it and examining it carefully before the Triwizard Tournament. What about him? Asked Crumb suspiciously. He's a wand maker. I know that, said Crumb. He made your wand. That's why I thought Quidditch. Crumb was looking more and more suspicious. How do you know Gregorovitch made my wand? I read it somewhere, I think, said Harry, in a fan magazine. He improvised wildly, and Crumb looked mollified. I had not realized I ever discussed my wand with fans, he said. So, where is Gregorovitch these days? Crumb looked puzzled. He retired several years ago. I was one of the last to purchase a Gregorovitch wand. They are the best, although I know, of course, that you Britons set much store by Ollivander. Harry did not answer. He pretended to watch the dancers like Crumb, but he was thinking hard. So Voldemort was looking for a celebrated wand maker, and Harry did not have to search far for a reason. It was surely because of what Harry's wand had done on the night that Voldemort had pursued him across the skies. The holly and phoenix feather wand had conquered the borrowed wand, something that Ollivander had not anticipated or understood. Would Gregorovitch know better? Was he truly more skilled than Ollivander? Did he know secrets of wands that Ollivander did not? This girl is very nice looking, Crumb said, recalling Harry to his surroundings. Crumb was pointing at Ginny, who had just joined Luna. She is also a relative of yours? Yeah, said Harry, suddenly irritated. And she's seeing someone. Jealous type, big bloke. You wouldn't want to cross him. Crumb grunted. What, he said, draining his goblet and getting to his feet again, is the point of being an international Quidditch player if all the good-looking girls are taken? And he strode off, leaving Harry to take a sandwich from a passing waiter and make his way around the edge of the crowded dance floor. He wanted to find Ron to tell him about Gregorovitch, but Ron was dancing with Hermione out in the middle of the floor. Harry leaned up against one of the golden pillars and watched Ginny, who was now dancing with Fred and George's friend Lee Jordan, trying not to feel resentful about the promise he had given Ron. He had never been to a wedding before, so he could not judge how wizarding celebrations differed from Muggle ones, though he was pretty sure that the latter would not involve a wedding cake topped with two model phoenixes that took flight when the cake was cut, or bottles of champagne that floated unsupported through the crowd. As evening drew in, and moths began to swoop under the canopy, now lit with floating golden lanterns, the revelry became more and more uncontained. Fred and George had long since disappeared into the darkness with a pair of Fleur's cousins. Charlie, Hagrid, and a squat wizard in a purple pork pie hat were singing Odo the Hero in a corner. Wandering through the crowd so as to escape a drunken uncle of Ron's who seemed unsure whether or not Harry was his son, Harry spotted an old wizard sitting alone at a table. His cloud of white hair made him look rather like an aged dandelion clock and was topped by a moth-eaten fez. He was vaguely familiar. Racking his brains, Harry suddenly realized that this was Elpheus Doge, member of the Order of the Phoenix and the writer of Dumbledore's obituary. Harry approached him. May I sit down?
Of course,
said Doge. He had a rather high-pitched, wheezy voice. Harry leaned in. Mr. Doge, I'm Harry Potter. Doge gasped.
My dear boy, Arthur told me you were here, disguised. I am so glad, so honored.
In a flutter of nervous pleasure, Doge poured Harry a goblet of champagne.
I thought of writing to you,
he whispered.
After Dumbledore, the shock, and for you, I am sure.